Now on RSM Central, welcome to Gate Speed. Thanks to the Victoria Harness Racing Club, the heart of harness racing. Joining Gareth Hall, Dan Malicki and Rob Orber.
Hopefully you're enjoying your Monday afternoon now in the early part of the Monday afternoon, and it's time to welcome in the Gate Speed team of Dan Malecki and also Robbie Orber, and there's plenty to discuss in the sport of harness racing today. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hello, Gareth. Yes, good afternoon to you. Bit of a hangover from the racing over the weekend, which was just fantastic. What it promised, it definitely delivered. And we've got some outstanding horses in all divisions in the pacing and trotting ranks here in Victoria.
And good afternoon to you, Robbie Orber.
A very good afternoon, gentlemen. It's been a wonderful weekend. I think a great period for harness racing. We've continued to promote what is the best racing at the right time of year, and that just continues to build from here on.
And this was one of the highlights there on Saturday night.
And they step up. It's Tough Telly and Ladies in Red. They dash away. They put 8 metres on Joanna. On the inside was Joe Rocks, and then came Treachery. Off the back in 28-3 for the third quarter. It's Tough Telly and Ladies in Red. They are locked together. Tough Telly the inside. Ladies in Red the outside. 6 metres away, Joe Rocks into the straight. It's Tough Telly, Ladies in Red. It's like they're joined at the hip. There's nothing between them. Tough Telly and Ladies in Red. Ladies in Red. She's put her nose in front. 50 to go. And Ladies in Red makes it 7 from 7. Ladies and
she red is a special filly. She's just got something about her, that X factor, the way that she moves. She's got toughness, she's got high speed, and she might just be one out of the box, Ladies in Red. And we're now joined by her breeders and wonderful supporters of the sport of harness racing in Bill and Ann Anderson, and they are together on the line. Bill and Ann, congratulations, well done on Saturday night. First of all, to you, Ann, was that a big thrill being at Tabcorp Park, Melton, on Saturday night to watch your filly do what she did?
Yes, good afternoon, Gareth. It was a real big thrill. We had never seen her race. So
okay, yeah.
It was amazing. It was wonderful just to be there and to have her in our own colours on such a special night was something that we were only dreaming of. And then on the Thursday, we were told that we could be there. So it all worked out very well in the end, and it was an exciting night.
Yeah, and I heard you jumping up and down. I was in the broadcast area there, which was a fair way away, but the excitement. And Bill, welcome to RSN Central and Gate Speed. Was it one of your most satisfying nights in the sport there on Saturday night?
Hi, Gareth. Yeah, we've had a number of great nights. I certainly rated right up there. I must admit, I think Chariot Supply with Postal Roy was something very, very special. But this little filly, a lot of people don't know, she suffered meningitis at 8 months old, and we nearly lost her. And it was only the fight that she put up that now is being shown in racing that certainly gives us a very soft spot for her.
I've got a soft spot for her too. And you mentioned Little before, Bill or Anne, you've bred the filly, so you've known her well. So were there any differences you'd seen from the last time you'd seen her, remembering she's had 6 starts before your Saturday night? Because she's not an imposing filly, and that's what I love about her, is that she's almost Pink Galahs-like. She's small, but she's tough, and she's so brilliant.
Yes, Dan, she's a small filly, but obviously got a big heart, and she just does it so easily and so naturally. It's just amazing to look at her because, as you say, she's not imposing, and really I couldn't see much difference in her size from when we left her, when she left the farm.
And I'm always intrigued about the breeding, and Cabalard Karen B's been a wonderful broodmare. She left our little general, who won 700,000. Casbar Kid, who's sitting at about 185,000. Beautiful woman who looks to be a lovely type as well. And Ladies in Red, tell us a story about how you came about purchasing this broodmare. She's a sister to Cammy Best, who, of course, was a million-dollar earner. And you purchased her from America, and how did that all come about?
Yes, we did. We had purchased a couple from America before, but only using somebody else as an agent. And I saw that the Perfect World Enterprise horses were coming up for sale. There'd been a lot of them sold on the internet. I think it was David Brooks, who was sentenced to jail for about 16, 17 years for crimes against the US government. And they came up online, and I don't bid online. I like to see them personally. And then the cream of the crop came up at Harrisburg. I said to Bill, we have to go. So we flew to Harrisburg, and we picked out the mayor. She wasn't our first pick, but when she came through the ring, Peter Walsh was there. He was in US then, and he had a look at them for us, and we were able to purchase Cavalier K&B. So that was November. She arrived back here in February. She was unsound, but she wouldn't settle here. She just walked her paddock, so we brought her in and started just to work her at home. And that ended up with her racing in Victoria and winning the Tabcorp Pass. So it was a great story, and the journey with her has so many rewards.
Bill, when you see a horse like Ladies of Redmond and you lay your eyes on her for the first time, and as Robbie pointed out, that particular breed, they're like our little general, there wasn't much of him, but he had a big motor. And you see these days in harness racing, like many say, arguably the best horse in this country at the moment, along with Lochinvar Art, and even that your horse, Hurricane Harley, beat him on Saturday night. But the Chicago Bull, there's Pink Alars. Like, the smaller horses seem to be the horses that are starting to really dominate our bigger races these days.
Gareth, I think that's right. I think Anne and I realised probably 12 years ago that we needed to get ahead of the game. And yes, it was a serious investment. We believe that the American breed were probably 25 years advanced because we could get the American semen, but we needed the mothers. So those breeds in America were smaller and athletic, high speed, whereas we had, you know, the Holmes Hanover types down here. And I think if we can probably draw on one thing, those seven mares, I think it is, that we've bought, have all brought athleticism to our, and look at Poster Boy, you look at Harley, which is really, he's a grandson of the mother of Mafioso. I think that's the breed, the evolving breed. So, yeah, that's our theory anyway.
Guys, the time that Ladies in Red ran on Saturday night, they didn't look like they went hard for a small fraction of that race. And I think it probably played into her hands because the speed that she's got, I don't think there's any two-year-old that can match her sustained brilliance. But can you, like, early season three-year-old, even if you want to say, she sits parked in 154.5. I mean, that's just remarkable. You couldn't have thought that a two-year-old filly could win in that way, running that sort of time.
Well, Dan, I think that's right. I think the big surprise to us shows her speed is when she went, I think, 151.9 over the short. And a two-year-old filly to do that. We had inquiry from America to be open. They thought she could go 48 in the States if we'd sell her, which we obviously refused. But I think that's the difference as to where, when you look at her, she was actually the last of the three pregnancies of Mac 3 before he broke his leg in New Zealand. Cavalier K&B was one of the last mares served. And that, again, I think just shows where that speed through Sun Beach is coming from.
Hurricane Harley, outstanding on Saturday night. You would have been thrilled with his performance.
Oh, yes, Rob. I've bred him out of one of my own mares. And as Bill just said earlier, his dam, Sugarland, is a half-sister to Mafioso, who was the first Group 1 winner that I did breed. So he brings back a lot of memories for me, and he's just such a super little fellow. And really, at this stage now, he's starting to grow up. He was a little rascal. As a younger horse, he could do things wrong. He threw away a couple of really nice races. But he's just coming of age now, and Amanda Turnbull suits him perfectly. So they're a great combination. And to see Harley freewheeling out in front is just magic. He's just a wonderful going horse.
That's his goal, I think, Anne. If he leads in a Hunter Cup or a Miracle Mile, they might find it really hard to catch him in one of those big Grand Slam races coming up in the next 3 to 4 months here in harness racing. Congratulations. Wonderful breeders. Terrific for the sport. You deserve all the success that you can get. But I love a story when you think outside the square, you plan ahead, and you get the job done and you get rewarded for your expertise in a way and doing what you love. So, Bill and Anne, congratulations. And I'm sure there will be many big races left in those two horses in years to come. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Gareth.
Shockwaves out wider, and then Bletchley Park in the straight. The leader, Chicago Bull, Vampiro. Then came Shockwave, Perfect Major, Galactic Star. The Bull's in front. He is a superstar. Chicago Bull clear, and Chicago Bull races home from Galactic Star.
You got to love him. What a champion he is. He wins another Group 1 Chicago Bull. That was Gary Hall Sr.'s 10th Fremantle Cup. That means he's won 21 Fremantle and WA Pacing Cups. Of course, he's won 11 WA Pacing Cups. What a remarkable career he's had, and he joins us now on Gate Speed. Yeah, good afternoon to you, Gary. You're with Gareth Hall, Dan Malecki and Robbie Orr, but what a thrill that must have been there on Friday night.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, it was a great thrill.
Was that the...
Because he's been the hell and back, that little horse, and to actually come back to the very, very top, that just speaks wonders for how good a horse he is.
Was that one of your greatest training performances or most satisfying victories? Because going back to the Chicago Bull story, he flipped over after winning a free-for-all at Alexandra Park before heading down south to Christchurch for a crack at the New Zealand Cup. He broke, I think, 8 bones in his wither. The vet said he might come back, but there is a question mark on whether he definitely comes back to his best. And in the first preparation, when I saw him back and return from that injury, I think everybody had question marks seeing you whether we would see the best of Chicago Bull again.
Yeah, I think there were even some people on social media calling for his retirement, but I spelled him and brought him back, and he came back a lot better. And it was obviously only a time thing that improved the whole problem. So, I don't know whether it was my greatest training performance. Maybe getting Junior to do some work might be my greatest training performance.
Gary, congratulations. Look, through the COVID period, and probably more so for Victorians than anywhere else, Chicago Bull has been... He has been the number one, I would think, attraction if you were watching Sky Channel, listening to RSN, all the way through, because he's, had 23 starts back since April. And I got no doubt, I mentioned it to Gareth last week, the sharpness that he had in the free-for-all a week ago, he looked better than ever. And he was like a gladiator on a Saturday night, and... it was like Charlton Heston sitting in the sulky there. He just looked invincible in such a great race to watch. There was plenty of action, and it was almost like a last horse standing. And he goes to the well for you time and time again. He's just remarkable.
Yeah, I think he loves racing, Ben. I'm sure he does. And he actually ran a 27.75 to get around to the breeze from Shockwave, and that would nearly see most horses down in a race over 2,500 metres of Bluff Park, but it didn't worry him at all. He just, just lately, as the last, 5 or 6 runs, he's been charging to the line, which he used to shut off a little bit once he got the better of him. And he, on the Sunday morning afternoon when Stewie McDonald drove him, he really, really savaged the line, and that gave me a lot of confidence for Friday night.
Congratulations, Gary, with the performance of Chicago Bull. I always say, when you look at to prove a horse how good he is, just have a look at the prize money next to his name. He's won $2.2 million. You've only travelled with him once to Victoria when runner-up to Tiger Tara. Would be further travel on the cards with him potentially in 2021?
I've got to convince the owners after we went away to that Victoria Cup. We then went to New Zealand, and the rest is history, what happened. So they're a little bit, gun shy about going away with him. But I'd love to come over after Christmas for the Hunter Cup with him, if I could, and if he's still in the form that he's in. So I think he's still got something to prove, but not to me, but probably to everyone else in Australia. You seem to need to be able to win on the Eastern Seaboard before anyone starts to think that you're a great horse. And I think he's a great horse, but I think I'd love to come over there and sort of win a Hunter Cup or something like that.
So when you have a look at his record, have you ever trained a horse that's been as consistent as Chicago Bull? He's had 89 starts. 60 victories, and he's had 14 seconds and 9/3. So he's only missed a place on two occasions, which is remarkable, really. And one of those occasions when he wasn't that, I think he was crook, wasn't he? So, geez, he's always in the firing line. I've never really seen a horse be as consistent like that in harness racing anyway for such a long time.
I haven't either, Gareth. He's definitely the most consistent horse I've trained. Even Quinny had his days when he put in an ordinary one.
Yeah.
But this horse never does. He always goes out there and gives his best, so even if he's not feeling 100%. And it's just amazing. He's a pretty easy horse to train. I get a lot of credit for it, but he's just pretty easy to train. He just cops his work and just goes about it like a professional, and he's really hasn't got any faults at all. He's just pretty easy to train and keeps fronting up every week. You can race him every week. He actually goes better when you race him every week. I'm toying with the idea of giving him a run Friday night because I haven't got much to work with here. And if I give him a run Friday night, he can not hopple this week, race Friday night, and then race in the Pacey Cup without having a hopple in between. So that's probably what's going to happen.
Why not, senior? You don't earn $25,000, probably going as fast at home than he would on a Friday night at Gloucester Park. Congratulations, and for yourself as well, like 10 Fremantle Pacing Cups, 11 WA Pacing Cups. When you were a punter growing up in the early days there in WA, did you ever think that you could, like, surpass heroes of yours, like a Fred Kersley, and become the sport's greatest ever preparer of a standard bred over in the West?
Not for a minute. Yeah, I didn't think that at all. I found it very hard when I first started. And I think, persistency is the thing. And I think any young trainer out there, the harder they work and the more consistent they get with their work, the better they're going to go. And they will eventually get there. And, that's what's happened to me. It took me 30 years to get to my first trainer's premiership. And now the rest is history. But it's not an easy game. And it's very hard, and there's a lot of disappointments, but there's a lot of highs, and Friday night was a great high for me. And, I never thought I'd be mentioned in the same breath as people like Fred Kersley and Phil Wilson, that sort of thing. But, hopefully I've made some sort of impact on harness racing.
Now, your legend continues to grow, and you probably will win your 12th WA Pacing Cup there.
Don't moz him.
No, I won't. Well, I could even. If Senior was training Chicago Bull, I could even jump behind him and win the WA Pacing Cup. He's just in a different, especially with Shockwave out these days. So well done, Senior. Congratulations, and enjoy the moment once again.
I think you have to give Junior a lot of credit. He's a great driver in those big races, and I think. I might have won 21, but without him, I probably wouldn't have won half that many. So, anyway, thanks a lot, guys.
That's what he says. You never started doing Group 1s as a trainer until I came along as a driver. That's Junior's exact words, but I think you worked beautifully, and it was one of the great death seat drives in a big race that you'll ever see. So, send our congratulations to him, Senior. Well done.
Thanks very much. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Great to catch up with Bill and Ann Anderson and Gary Hall Senior here on Gatespeed. Dan, what about your highlight from the weekend? There were so many. Congratulations to you. You were the best tipster. Dominated proceedings as well with your $200 staking plan. So your pockets would be filled at the moment, Dan.
Well, it's about time if that was the case. Look, Major Moth was fantastic. I love the way that this horse, he lengthens stride. You don't often see that with a harness horse, more galloping, and he just stretches out with an incredible cadence and speed. I think that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And these horses, like a Major Moth, I've got no doubts that he will be a better three-year-old. He hasn't quite filled into his frame yet. And there's some great stories all the way through. David Miles, Greg Sugars with a late pickup drive with a Pantheus. I thought Zeus Bromac, I talked about Gladiatorial with Chicago Bull winning the Fremantle Cup. Well, Zeus Bromac was just that with Kieran Manning and taking up the three-year-old colt Bunce and Geldings. But I think that the highlight has to be Ladies in Red to continue to be unbeaten. Cover and Darkness remains unbeaten after taking up the three-year-old trotting colts and geldings. And to think one of the races that wasn't a Group 1 was the opening race in the clash of Hurricane Harley and Lachlan Virard. And what a sterling drive from Amanda Turnbull to have thought that out the way she did. It might look easy being in front and just running time, but she pressed the button at just the right time to make sure Lachlan Virard worked. And it was a super way to start an incredible night of racing.
So many highlights, Robbie, and well done to you to capture all of the excitement there on Trots Vision and Sky Racing Active. And we heard the coverage on our Carnival channel here on RSN. They're great nights. A lot of people put in a lot of hard work to reach that high, to achieve those goals there that they did over the last on Friday and especially Saturday night.
Look, there was so much hard work put in by everyone, I think from every corner of the industry, and it was a real credit to the sport in showcasing some great racing. Certainly, if you've missed any of the highlights as far as interviews on RSN podcast and also the Trots Vision interviews, they're all available on the new vhrc.org.au website.
Yep.
Some great content there for our harness people if you just want to go back and review some of the great work that the Media Tech boys put together as well as part of our Sky Active and Trots Vision coverage. My highlight, I always like the fairy tale stories, and Sangreal taking out the Trotting Fillies final for Marie Caldo and Daryl Douglas. I had a few people in the last couple of weeks telling me Daryl Douglas has lost it. Well, for those people, no, he hasn't. Have a look at his drive on Sangreal on Saturday night. It was a gem of a drive. He found that opening, and to get up at 50-1 for Marie and John Caldo and the whole family, a very, very special story, and well done to the team there.
Yeah, that was a great story there on Saturday night. vhrc.org.au. It's a website for harness racing fans and owners and punters alike that you need to put as a saver there, so you can go straight to it. So vhrc.org.au, Robbie Orber, congratulations with it. So much wonderful content, and looking forward to seeing it develop, and it's going to be a great tool for harness racing fans. So congratulations with that.
Yeah, thank you. We're just looking at a point of difference, and certainly, you know, there's some great work at the HRV website. We're trying now to put some focus for the owners that invest in the sport. And we've got the new Super Bonus Series starting off at Shepparton on the 3rd of December. That's the first of our $900,000 is up on offer for owners and trainers if they're members of the club. You won't get a better deal than what's been put out there. And hopefully the industry can support us, because the more people that support us, the more we can grow. And hopefully our industry people can give some love, and we're going to give the love back to them.
Great stuff. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Gareth.
Set it warm.